record. I'm hitting record. You can't do anything about it. Look at you, Phil. What's in the wall on the wall behind you? Is that where the sign used to be?
Yes.
That's funny to me. Now it's just like, why don't you take those pieces of paper off? No, seriously, there's like a bunch of gummy paper on the wall. Why don't you take it off?
It's not even paper?
Well, I don't know what it is.
No, I mean, looks like it's paint.
Oh, it is paint. Okay. Mm-hmm. What's the theme of the show today?
Well, I was reading something to you at a broadcast dialogue, and how about this theme? There's a guy that passed away named David Blair, because they have this thing, it's called sign-offs. David Blair died at 56 unexpectedly. Don't know him, but 56 is young. And the very next posting is Wilf Ray, who died on July 11th, was 94.
Yeah.
Look at that. One fella gets 56 years, another fella gets 94.
So
like, who decides and why?
So what should I call the show, 56 or 94? All right.
Or death is crazy.
56 or
that new Chicago song.
I was just thinking that, Phil. I'm like 56 or 94. Dun, 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 dun.
When Wilf Ray was 56, that was like 40 years ago.
Yeah.
So he got like almost in that. You know. Where's it?
Why is it's not fair, Fred? No.
It's not fair. When Wilf Ray was 56, he probably felt like a kid. And now David Blair is gone at 50.
Okay, so Wilf Ray.
You have a point.
I do. Jesus. Yeah. Welcome everybody. Humble and Fred Show, Chicago. Would you rather live to 56 or 94? You know what's scary? 56 for you is like 9 years ago.
Yeah.
Phil, do you know this song?
Only because you guys introduced it when Peter Cetera was in studio.
Oh, that's right. Peter Cetera was in studio back when we were beginning the podcast. Yes.
September 1970, I believe. I was a grade niner. And the high school had a jukebox, and this was the most popular song at the time.
What kind of fancy pants high school did you go to that had a jukebox? And by the way, is it jukebox or juke? I guess it's a jukebox.
It's K.
Jukebox.
But it was in the corner, and I think it was 10 cents a play.
Yeah.
And this song would come up every three or four songs. It was a huge hit.
Yeah.
In September of 1970, some 50 years ago, 51 years ago.
Thank you, Scarborough of Casey Kasem. In my hometown, we had a jukebox, and we...
56 to 94.
That's what were you just singing? No.
Don't you Jewish people all get in a
no? Let's have on again. Havana Gila, Havana Gila. That's the only song it played.
Isn't there a Jewish thing where you guys all get in a circle though, and then put your left leg?
No, it's different. We all get in a circle and we count each other's money to the. You just keep going around a circle. How much money you got? it's called circle accounting. Okay, Phil, here we go. Show started.
Episode of Humble and Fred. Oi is brought to you by the Retirement Sherpa, Gig Sky, the Chambers Plan, Health Gauge, and our newest sponsor, Bodog, your source for free casino games, poker strategy, and live sports odds. If you'd like to talk to Humble and Fred, our Facebook page is Humble and Fred Radio. And now from the remote headquarters of the Humble and Fred Show, here are Humble and Fred.
The Humble and Fred Show. Here we are. Bill Brio, the Gig Sky guest of the day today. You never know with Bill, though. You know, he's a... I don't know what the Bodog odds are on Bill showing up, but...
No, they're good. He's up at the cottage. He's aware.
Oh, no, I saw the note, but...
Yeah.
You know, we've been hurt before. Mm-hmm. Bodog.eu, of course, that's where you go for your all your betting, all your odds and stuff. We'll get into that a little bit later. Of course, one of the big things we're excited about here on the Humble and Fred Show, and I'm going to have to ask for your patience because I closed my computer and now have to open up.
Well, in the meantime, just answer this question. When I pass, will you please submit my obituary to Broadcast Dialogue? I would like to be on there one day.
I already sent it to them.
in the sign-off section. Yeah.
Sorry.
Put this in your file. Read this when Fred passes. Yes.
I did. I put that in. Well, isn't that funny, eh? You know, you do a show, and I can't find anything. Can you do the government for me now? Because I've got everything shut down.
Okay.
Is that possible?
Yes. Yes, it is. Just give me a second here.
All right.
This is what people complain about.
And with good reason. I restarted my computer, and I can't find any of our stuff.
No, here. I get it. Every day, more and more people across Ontario are receiving their COVID-19 vaccines. Health Canada-approved vaccines are conveniently available in hospitals, doctors' offices, pharmacies, and mass vaccination sites. And every dose brings us closer to what we've missed. So join millions of Ontarians, do your part, and get your shot. Visit ontario.ca/bookvaccine, paid for by the government of Ontario.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a story yesterday of this. These people, they put this website together called Safe to Do. It was a website, and they were going to list all the businesses in Toronto and the GTA that has asked or their employees have been double vaxxed. So if you go there, you feel safer, be it if you just want to feel safer or if you're vulnerable. And, you know, they had to shut it down.
I'm sorry, why? Why'd they have to
do
that?
The anti-vaxxers attacked it. So the anti-vaxxers looked at the companies that had been listed and phoned them and made fake orders. Or if it was a restaurant, they ordered food and didn't pick it up. And this guy that created this website was forced to shut it down because of the anti-vaxxers attack. And he personally got hate mail. So this is quite the little club and network that's been created.
See, my first reaction would be, well, first of all, two reactions. One is, let me give you the second reaction first.
Uh-huh. That's 1A. Mm-hmm.
let me just go to my second thought first, and I'll get back to my first thought the second, which will then actually be my second thought. But the first of all, who has the time in their lives? Whose life is so going so great that they can take the time to organize a hate campaign against my second point? Now, the first point is now the second point. The first point is, what a wonderful thing that is. Mm-hmm. What a great, whoever took the time to do that, what a great service. Like, because I would like to look at a site and go, oh, I'm going to go to this restaurant and, hey, Rachel, everyone's vaxxed, we'll be vaxxed, and we can hug everybody, and isn't that wonderful?
Mm-hmm.
But that's the real point, I think, is my first point, which was originally my second point, which is I don't have the time in a day to do that, do you? And if I did, what purpose does that serve? What point does that make? Please help me with that.
Well, again, it's so selfish because, okay, you're against the vaccine, but why are you now making your beliefs part of my life? Or Howard's life, who would look at that as a great service, as you just explained beautifully. Why do I want to become part of that? Okay, I'm against vaccines. I can look at the thing and go, you know, I'm not going there because they're all vaxxed. Great. But don't make it part of my problem now. Don't attack them so something that I would find convenient has to be shut down.
Yeah. It became such a slam book that, you know, these trolls have actually visited these businesses on the list on Google and then left really bad reviews. Like, it was so bad reputationally that it had to be shut down. It was a choice to shut it down because of all that.
As the guy, the creator, said, he said, I can't do that to these businesses. Mm-hmm. You know, they're struggling as it is. Now, I create this thing with the best of intentions, and these people are putting bullshit reviews on there, damaging the businesses further.
And if I can go back to, I've lost track of which point this is, but the
1C.
I don't know what kind of human being you have to be to make your day's work that day to harm the reputations of businesses that have had, you know, a really tough time of it. And as you say, and I think you said it quite lovely as well, you know, we've all been struggling. These businesses, as you know, I've talked a lot about the neighborhoods here in this section I live in Rachel's part of the city. It's just devastating to see all the businesses boarded up. And so here we are starting to gently get back into the flow of things. And then you would actually, a person would actually be so vile. Like, it's one thing to not believe in the vaccine, as you say. That's fine. That's your prerogative. You're a fucking asshole, but that's your prerogative. Not you. I'm saying the person who. But then to take the step to be so negative, to be harmful to another person's livelihood, I don't even understand that. And I think I have a bit of a glimmer of understanding of why someone might be anti-vax. That's fine. But this is a whole level of humanity. Again, could you have ever imagined this?
No. And, you know, it goes back to what we talked to talked about, I believe, on Monday was... Back with these people, vaccines aren't really the issue.
No,
there's other issues, and this is just one of the manifestations. The whole anti-vax movement. There is something else going on in your brain, especially these people, as you say. Like these people are actually saying, "I don't want you to feel safe."
Yeah, and what kind of what's their family situation? What's their friends like? Hey, Freddie, what were you up to today? Oh, it was great. You know how I don't believe in the vaccine? Well, what I did is I went on this website and I fucked it up for a bunch of people who do.
Right.
Oh well, do you want to watch some Netflix? Yeah. You know what I mean? Listen. We all have negative emotions and we all have negative reactions to things, but there's a whole bunch of steps before I would go out and protest something because you believe in it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I'm just the way I am. I can be fiery at times, as you know, and
spicy.
I just think in the next few months. Listen, I would never ask somebody, well, maybe I would. I have. What am I talking about? Have you been vaxxed? But the minute, if somebody opens up to me about why vaccines are stupid, then I'm going to unload on them. I'm going to have to. I'm not going to. And it'll be tough if I'm around Elise because her policy would be, oh, bite your tongue. You know, that's the way they feel. Well, I'm sorry. If you're going to promote to me why I should not get a vaccine, I am going to immediately promote back to you why you should.
Yeah. Well,
and I just, and why shouldn't we?
Again, you know, that's the thing about the 70%+ of Canadians that have been vaccinated. Let me just double check that number, Phil. It's actually 59% have been fully vaccinated and over 70% first shot. It's like we're just this sort of, we go along and we do our part, and most of us just kind of go, well. You know, I would see that even if I didn't believe. Okay, give you an example. I don't believe in religion, and I don't believe in churches, and I think the Catholic Church is disgusting, and I think most of them are disgusting, but, you know, I don't really care. I mean, I might have a conversation about it, but I'm not going to run down the street here and tell you shouldn't go to the Catholic Church, even though they have killed Indigenous children for years. But... I guess my point is, I don't really have the energy to go and be that negative. If that's your experience and you want to do that, then you go ahead and do it. I think it's disgusting, but you go ahead and do it.
No, exactly. And it all depends on the situation. As I say, if somebody's in your face on one of those issues, then...
Exactly.
You know, the door is open now to give it back. I think in a lot of the situations, again, depending on your temperament and stuff, it's like somebody would promote anti-vaxxing or, you know... maybe defending the Catholic Church, and to not get in a conflict, just sort of turn and walk away. But why should they win in promoting that, you know, that stuff?
You know, when you first brought that topic up a few minutes ago, before you told me about the backlash to it, my first thought was, wow, what a great thing. Like, really? I went, oh, well, I'd like to know about that.
Yeah, and even the look at, you know, some people are vulnerable, respiratory problems and everything. Even going forward, they're going to have a bit of a mind to this because, again, the vaccines, you know, you can still get sick. So that would be a great a great reference thing where you could go on and say, yeah, I can go here. You know, I'm a little vulnerable. I have this respiratory issue, and that's a good place for me to go. Allows me to get out and about.
And you know,
it's been shut down.
You know what this movement would hurt most? People who can't get vaccinated, even if they wanted to. I have a friend who is hugely political. He was part of one of the political parties, but he keeps telling me, you know, I can understand that people can take the vaccine as their choice, but for someone who gets allergic reactions to just about every vaccine ingredient apart from the virus, it's like, I want these people to be vaccinated because I can't.
Yeah. Yeah.
It hurts these people the most because they really want to try to help and they can't.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's some more, you know, data. Data.
Data.
Here's some more. Data. Data. In Vermont, which in America is the most vaccinated state, the last 7 days, zero cases, zero deaths.
Mm-hmm.
Alabama, the least vaccinated state, 901 cases, 41 dead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I haven't looked at this thing for a while, but this story that I was reading that gave me this data led me to go back to the Worldometer for the first time in a while. The Worldometer, of course, worldometer.info, the coronavirus. It was the thing that all of us were looking at with all the countries listed. Back when the old pandemic began.
Well, before the vaccine, before the people dying.
Be vaccinated. So, yesterday in America, they had 56,000 new cases. Yesterday in Canada, we had 495 new cases, which is up, by the way, from 2 days ago in Canada. We had something near 400 cases. So even though we like to think that maybe this thing's dissipating, you know, for sure, and things are starting to get better because of vaccination, it's not over yet. It's not over by a long shot. And the only thing that's what's so, I think, perplexing, surprising, and aggravating at the same time, the triad of all of that, because the simple answer is if you get vaccinated, all those numbers drop. Mm-hmm. Like a year ago, when we first started looking at this, and Phil was joking there, it was before the vaccine, obviously, and we didn't know what to do except to social distance and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. But now the solution's simple.
Mm-hmm.
And for the first time in history, a population, because of social media and all this other stuff, is actually having a reaction to the idea of being vaccinated. It's fucking wild.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think about the Spanish flu. At the end of the Spanish flu, people weren't going, I don't really feel like taking it. I don't want to feel like
my flu, my race.
No, I know. And even if you felt that way, which I'm sure there was a few, they didn't have platforms to spread their fear and their nonsense.
No, exactly. Honey, I don't know if I want to take the vaccine. Meanwhile, they're bleeding from their eyeballs.
On that point, you know, we were approached by them once, and it's where Mike Richards does his morning show. It's a radio station called Saga 960.
There's Saga 960.
And you know, and again, it's you know, whoever got the license, and it's just like a Mickey Mouse operation. It is. I'm sorry. You know, Mike does the morning show there. Great. He's been doing it for a while. By the way, he stopped posting podcasts. Why would he do that? I got to ask him. Like, he's doing a show on 960, but he hasn't posted a podcast since November, according to Spotify.
And anyway, we're talking about our friend Mike Richards, say what you will about the radio station. He does a nice great show, job. And he's a professional broadcaster.
But I feel, I know, you know, and again, he's an adult. He makes his choices. At 9 o'clock, a guy named Mark Patrone or Patroni comes on. And I think what they've decided to do with him and then Richard Surrett to sort of make some noise, you know, to be to become known. It's severe right wing. Like this Mark Petroni, I listened to him for a little while yesterday just because I had heard of him. And again, it's just absolute nonsense. You know, he's questioning the vaccine and he questions, you know, the insurrection and, you know, Joe Biden is corrupt and all this stuff. And, you know, emanating from a Toronto or a Canadian radio station, it just sounds silly. Like it just, it does. It sounds silly, ridiculous. And, you know, and again, our buddy Lou Skeezes goes on with him the odd time. And, you know, they talk about all the, you know, liberals and all the ridiculous, creepy things that liberals and, you know, people that don't think their way, the horrible things they're doing to the world, you know, and he was discounting climate change. Anyway, all the predictable crap that you would get from American right wing radio is coming out of this little stick in Mississauga. And I'm thinking that's your attempt, you know, to become known. And Bob McCown's going to be on the show next week. And he had his podcast playing on that station for a really brief period of time.
I remember that conversation. Oh, this is going to... I remember the conversation on the air, but the off-the-air conversation was way funnier.
So when he's on next week, I can't wait. And I hope he'll talk about his experience at Saga 960.
All that being said, though, Fredonia.
Yeah.
You're talking about it. I never heard of this guy, Mark Perdone. What's his name?
Petroni.
Never heard of him until you brought this up a couple minutes ago.
No, I know. But I'm just, you know, I'm doing a review.
And,
all right. I review things sometimes.
Oh, I know. You're the great reviewer.
It just sounds, not only is it crap what he talks about, it sounds silly on a Canadian radio station because it's really not what we do.
No, I don't. Hey, David, can you figure it out? You put the thing on. He figures it out. Big Dave's here. You know who may have a good perspective on this at the end of the show?
Who's that?
Big Dr. Davey G.
Oh, okay.
David Glassman in the house. Yes. Actually, that's why I have this other microphone set up. I tried to do a double webcam thing earlier this morning, Phil, and there's a way to do it on Zoom. Because one day, somewhere in the fall, the Fred Man and I are going to be back in this studio for just, let's do a, don't make a face, great reviewer.
Well, don't go promising things that aren't going to necessarily happen.
What? We've talked about this.
Oh, yeah, the odd day.
No, maybe. I'm not saying, I'm not saying forever. I'm saying one day when you come back, on that day, we'll have to figure out how to split this Zoom thing. I worked on it a little bit this morning. There's a way to do it in Zoom where you can switch back and forth from cameras, but I haven't figured out a way to pin. I just didn't get into it deep enough. Anyways, my point is, David,
you didn't do a deep dive.
I didn't do a deep dive. David will be on the show, and he is gonna. That will actually be our very first person since March of 2020 that will be talking into a microphone in this studio with me, and I'm looking forward to it again. This is my brother, man. In the meantime, hang on. Hey, whether you're a sports bettor, a horse racing fan, a poker or casino player, bow dog. Get it, Phil? Who let the bow dogs out? Do you hear me? Bow dog is your number one source of online gambling entertainment. Gaming, too. From their industry-leading odds, world-class sportsbook, and feature-rich poker room to their fully loaded casino and racebook, they've been providing Canadian players with an unparalleled gaming experience since 1994. I was looking at the site just now, and obviously there's all the baseball games that you would ever want to bet on. The big ones are there. If you're looking for, it's interesting too, because does the Olympics start this weekend? Secondly, are they going ahead with that? Because I heard there was some controversy.
No,
the ceremony starts tomorrow, and the games have already begun.
Yeah, okay. Soccer has already started. Canada tied 1-1 our women's team.
Oh, nice.
Against Japan, I think.
Well, you can get all your Tokyo Olympic games. There's soccer, swimming, all the athletics. Just go to bowdog.eu/sports And, you know, place some bets. Bodog.eu/sports. And that's all there. It's very interesting. I'm really looking forward to catching up with Peter Gross soon because I want him to walk us through this. Because, you know, it would be nice, especially if you're a baseball fan. There's also the PGA 3M Open is coming up this weekend. Now, that I do understand. The odds of, you know, the odds are really simple. You know, Dustin Johnson is favored to win plus 700. Somebody that is sort of a less of a chance, Dylan Fratelli, is plus 6,000. So all this stuff is there. Bodog.eu/sports. Okay.
Why isn't Morikawa, I think, is representing the United States at the Olympics?
Yes, Morikawa is on that team. Canadians are Corey Connors and Mackenzie Hughes.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. So it would be nice if they could win a medal at the Olympics. One of the Canadians. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. So, are you? So you did the government. I did that. We're pretty close. I just want to make sure we get a few of these going here before Bill Brio joins us. Dave Glassman, of course, later in the program.
Well, just before Bill Brio joins us, I'll read the Gigs Guy spot because he'll be our Gigs Guy, I guess, of the day. Dave could be like also like the you know, a Gigs Guy guest of the
secondary
day
guest for David Glassman. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I want him to talk about too is this notion that we just brought up on the show a second ago. The idea that okay, you might be anti-vax, but where in your day? How do you get from, I don't think the vaccines are safe, to I'm going to destroy the businesses that are, I'm so against this that I want to destroy a business that is just trying to make a living for their family by letting everyone know that it's a safe space for vaccinated people. That just seems bizarre to me.
Here's why you don't think it through, too, if you're one of those people, because you know, they think ultimately Ontario, in particular, will be vaxxed 80 to 90%. So, as a consumer, you're an anti-vaxxer, but you're a consumer. You want 80% of what was once available to you and not available now?
I know, like, man.
Like, what are you thinking? Like, you so want to throw a wrench into this that you want your choice, your ability to go out and be a consumer to be widely depleted? Like, are you a fucking idiot or what?
Back to this Mississauga station that you've referenced now more times in the last few days than I. And by the way, 100% the truth, I've never turned it on. But now I've got to. Now I got to go listen to that guy. What I was going to say to you, why don't we get him on the show? Because, you know, Richard and Lou won't do the show anymore. But no. What about that guy? Let's get him on.
Well, He starts at 9. We could throw that out there and see.
Well, just to say, hey, listen, why don't you explain to us, you know, you're smarter than we are. Explain to us why somebody would want, what are the rights of the anti-vaxxers? How are they, what's toes are being stepped on? Let's get him on the show. He's a broadcaster.
Yeah.
He's a big-time broadcaster.
This guy was once a CRTC commissioner, this Mark Patron guy.
Now let's get him
so
on.
He's not. It's not like he doesn't have a functioning brain. Although with the CRTC, you'd have to wonder. Like they.
Well, this isn't necessarily
some of the people. You know, some of the decisions that they make. And
no, whatever. Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly.
Stephen Harper appointed him.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Yeah.
Well, let's get him on because obviously he's smarter than we are. He would have an answer why we shouldn't get vaccinated, and nor more importantly, we should go out and destroy business that are trying to promote a vaccinated environment. On that note, Frederick.
Okay, but let's be fair. You're conflating there. He didn't do that.
I know he didn't, but he would have an answer for that.
Okay.
Eric Clapton, you know, that famous scientist, Dr. Eric Clapton of the science. Fuck. Eric Clapton says, I won't perform. I'm going to do a very bad British voice now. He's like, I won't perform on any stage. There is a discriminated audience present. And I guess that's in reference to, and I'm just cherry picking this now. This was on Twitter, so it was retweeted. This is Eric Clapton's reaction, I guess, to audiences having to be fully vaccinated to come to one of his shows where he sings the songs that we all enjoy.
Right. Well, great. That's his choice. Great.
To be honest, though, he was the inventor of the mathematical formula, Layla equals got me on my knees.
Very good, Phil. Yeah. Like I've been saying to Fred for a while now, great songwriter, not so great with the babysitting.
Wouldn't you rather have Layla on her knees?
My brother thought that was funny. Like he's over here laughing. Is that the first time you heard me say that? Yeah, great songwriter, bad babysitter. Fuck him.
You've said that on the show before.
I know, but not to David. David's sitting right over here.
Yeah.
Layla. You know, that's, you know, you don't see McCartney out there telling you not to get vaccinated.
No. No, and you know what? That's his choice. So what he's saying basically is, you know, I have chosen because of my stance to sell less tickets. Great. That's his. It's great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't, you know, I don't think he will be able to dictate. You know, when you go into a venue, I don't think the artist say, I want non-vaccinated people in here if they want to be. You know, there's going to be so many issues down the road that this would just be another one. Or does the venue say, no, they're not coming into our venue unless they're vaccinated? Like, who has the final word there?
I don't know, but like when you started this 20 minutes ago and you said, hey, there's somebody that's providing a service that identifies restaurants and venues and stores or whatever, or what businesses that are their employees are fully vaccinated and they are encouraging a fully vaccinated environment. Again, my first thought was, wow, that's a great service. Wouldn't that be great to be able to go online and say, hey, Rachel, we're going for dinner at that place. And it looks like everyone who works there has been vaccinated. Fantastic. Let's go. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Nope. Mm-hmm. Can't do that anymore.
Can't do that.
Is there a song in that?
Yeah. Hall & Oates. Can't do that.
All right. Mm-hmm. Hey,
no can do.
No can do. Get your boogie on the floor. In other news, maybe we should, because we do have other things I wanted to mention. You still haven't sent me the episode of W5 that you wanted me to watch. I was hoping you would.
All right, sorry, I will.
Okay.
I don't know how I can. I'll look into that. We'll be done.
Just if you could just find the thing, I'll search it. I just don't know what the episode name is. That's coming up. Bill Brio is going to talk TV. We'll talk about the latest things that you should be streaming and watching, and the return to movies. But I don't know if you saw the picture of the spaceship Blue Origin that went into space a couple days ago with Bezos. I know we talked about it the day of the launch, but we didn't talk about aftermath and the reaction. Phil, do you know what I'm talking about? Here's this guy that spent, $1 billion. To go into space, which I thought was pretty cool. I thought, hey, you know, if you had all the money in the world, why wouldn't you go into space? But that aside, the reaction, Fred, I'm not sure if you saw it, but the reaction was so negative to this guy going into outer space, from what a dweeby is to the fact that the spaceship looked like a giant wiener. Did you see it, Phil? It's the wiener.
The right curves to be a penis rocket.
It's a penis rocket, Phil. You're right.
They're saying it's meant for aerodynamics for the return. And I'm like,
well, whatever.
It's like a penis.
Hey, that return was wacky.
Yeah, what was the return?
Well, the way the thing just sort of landed. Like, it was amazing. Like, it almost looked fake. I'm not saying it was. I'm not a conspiracist. But it looked like something out of, a sci-fi movie. Like, it had the ability to sort of turn around and land, right?
Mm-hmm. Like they had a second set of rockets to come back
down. Oh, check it out. It was wild.
Really?
Yeah.
Should I check it out now?
Bezos, he also made a mistake. It seems by thanking the employees of Amazon for making this possible.
Yeah, that was no good.
And I know. And that didn't settle well.
No.
Because it was, you know, a lot of them think they're underpaid and overworked. And
I'm watching the landing now. It's the little capsule and the parachute, right?
Was there a parachute?
Yeah.
Okay. But just the way it, yeah, just the way it looks, it's just cool.
Oh, the way the actual rocket landed.
Yeah.
Yeah, that part's cool, too.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So the capsule that they were in, it came away from the rocket, and it came back to Earth with under a parachute, but the other thing came down on its own.
Yeah, it's nuts.
It is nuts. You know, plus he's not good. He shouldn't. He's, you know, like some people have a head for cowboy hats. He does not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he doesn't.
A so cowboy you hat. Do and I don't. You have to have a long, narrow sort of face. When I say long, I mean just. You don't look good in a cowboy hat when you, if you got like a round, you know, chubby face.
Although
like
I think now with your new Western, with your new hair, yeah, I think maybe. You'd look great in a cowboy hat. Now I think if you and I. We're ready at the state. We could start in a buddy Western.
Mm-hmm. Although Bezos, too, you know, that evening, he gave $100 million to Van Jones
yeah.
for his charity work.
And Jose Andres,
yeah.
or Andes?
Yeah.
Andres, the chef.
Who's taken upon it himself whenever there's a world yeah. disaster. He, like, goes on scene immediately and starts feeding people. So yeah. Bezos gave him $100 million, too.
So, wait, so just for people to understand. So it's Jose's, what's his name, Phil? Jose?
Andres.
Jose Andres. Mm-hmm. And I heard him, as Fred did, on Smartless. Did you hear that episode?
Yes.
So that's how we were introduced to him. Now, think about this. All this man has wanted to do anytime there's a disaster is to go to that place and immediately start helping to feed people. That's mm-hmm. his job. That's yeah. He's better than we are because he does those things. But mm-hmm. you know what? If you go on right-wing media, which I do occasionally, they vilify this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't. It just makes no sense. But you go on Fox News and they bring him up all the time.
About how?
Like, like there's something going on. Like, it's not all it seems to be. They pick him apart. It's fucking madness.
And his most political move was having a cooking show on PBS.
Yeah.
Basically.
Well, on that note, too, it's like, you know, Fox News chasing their tail all the time. Even with Bezos, right? They hold him because he's been a critic of the right wing and of Fox News. So they don't like him. Right?
No,
yet when he, right? So now, because of what he said about, oh, I want to thank the employees, they're attacking him in defense of these employees. Yet the whole Fox thing is, you know, it's all up to you. If you work at a place like Amazon, you should, you know, don't like it, get another job. You know, improve your life on your own. Don't look at the government or don't look at handouts to improve your lot in life.
No.
So it's like, so now that they're attacking him for saying that now in defense of these people who normally they wouldn't defend.
No, they don't give a shit.
You know, it's like, it's too hard to follow.
But I can't find it now because Bill Brio's standing by. But I saw a couple of snipey things that people on the right were saying about this Jose Andres guy. And again, having heard him on Smartless, you mean the guy that all he wants to do is go around the world helping people? Yeah, he's a dick. Before we get to Bill Brio, though, friends, I think it's important that we all realize that every day, more and more people across Ontario are receiving their COVID-19 vaccines. Way to go, Ontario. Health Canada approved vaccines are conveniently available in hospitals, doctors' offices, pharmacies, and mass vaccination sites. Every dose brings us closer to what we've missed. Join millions of Ontarians and do your part. Get your shot. Visit ontario.ca/bookvaccinepaidfor by the Government of Ontario. Fred, guess who's coming up now? It's our Gig Sky guest of the day, everybody.
Yeah, and hey, everybody. You know, the world is slowly opening up, which means if you plan on traveling, you might need some mobile data, right? And you need a provider to keep you connected wherever you go. Download the Gig Sky app for Android or iOS and get affordable data coverage in over 190 countries using your phone's eSIM. It's the easiest, most affordable, and convenient way to stay connected internationally. You know what it's like when you land somewhere, you're looking for a cool restaurant or bar, or, you know, places of interest? Yeah, you'll have the data to get you there. All Gig Sky data plans are prepaid with no contracts or recurring fees. You get what you pay for, and your service is never, ever throttled. Download the Gig Sky app today and enter code HF2021 for $5 off your first plan, or visit gigsky.com for more information.
Yeah, man. Here he is. And listen, if you happen to, if you heard earlier, I wasn't really casting aspersions on you, Bill. I was just using you as a Bodog .eu sports bet. I said, what's the over-under on Brio showing up today?
Well, I deserve that.
Bill Brio live from his cottage. Bill has morphed himself into this red-green character over the pandemic. And bye, Phil. Have a great day. Oh, are you waving at Bill, or I thought you were leaving?
Yeah, I'm saying hi.
Oh, okay.
Hi, Phil.
Billy.
Yes, sir. Hey, by the way, I you know, always been a big fan of Gig Sky. I loved his movies in the 60s.
Bill, we don't participate in any nonsense that has to do with our sponsors, just so you know, but I appreciate it.
Are you referring to Gig Young?
Gig Young, that's the guy. Sky, Gig Young, you know.
Yeah. See, I know that. Gig Young.
Yeah, was he a Western star?
He was, yeah. He was in some Elvis movies.
Have you heard of Gig Young? I got my brother here. He's nearly 80.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he has the slicked over hair.
He has a slicked over hair. Okay, thanks.
Great. Yeah. His parents named him Gig.
Mm-hmm. Well, now he's got a grandchild called the Gig Economy.
Mm-hmm.
where are you? We don't need to tell us, you know, exactly the location, but you're like a lot of big shot celebrity on Toronto. That's people. Me. You know, you go up to your cottage all summer and hang out with Tom Hanks and, you know, Goldie Hawn and her husband.
And Gig Young. I'm on the beautiful shores of Lake Huron, up the Bruce, as they used to say, Howard. But it's a cottage my dad and a buddy built in 1947, and it's a great retreat. Always happy to get up here.
I guess. And over your shoulder there, I can see the banner Southampton. Are you close to Southampton?
Yeah, just about half an hour or so north. In fact, I was there yesterday. Sandra and I took a drive down, but it's, you know, Sauble Beach is probably the community most people are familiar with, just a bit north of that.
Yeah, I know. In public school, the girl I had a crush on, she had a cottage in Southampton, and I always wished that they would invite me, but they never did. Ah. Never been to that area.
Well, why do they snubbed you?
Mm-hmm.
The cottage snubbed you?
I used to have this fantasy. Oh, what if Kathy, what if they invited me to their cottage?
Yeah, and then what happened? Yeah, well,
she was never really that big on me. I had a huge crush on her.
So your fantasy was she would invite you to the cottage and make a schmore out of you?
Anything.
Just get after it.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Pretty good fantasy.
Hey, Bill. So
it was.
I'm fascinated by this because it wasn't my family's experience going to a cottage. Lake life wasn't really, you know, part of my childhood, you know, being in Saskatchewan when we don't have water. But I can tell you from the time that I started going up north many years ago, I sort of get it, not to the level you guys do. It must be, though, great and fascinating, nostalgic to be in a structure that you've been going to since you were a kid.
You're absolutely right, Howard. You know, I've was thinking the other day, I was talking about Dundas Street, you know, renaming Dundas. I grew up on an old farmhouse. My parents lived on Dundas, 5308 Dundas. And then when I was 10, we moved to 4686 Dundas. And I joked on Twitter that my next move was to Avenue Road. And if Toronto bans those two names, they'll have to take down every street sign in the city.
That's right. That's why I said to Fred that every street is Dundas.
Yeah, but you know, the fact that you live 10 or 12 years in one house and then another and another all your life, you're moving. This is a constant for me, this cottage. I'm 64. I've been coming here since I was 6 weeks old, and it really does run deep. You're right. It's a very, it is a personal thing. But it's also fun to fix it up and get it ready for next generation, and as my dad did, and so it's cool.
Very nice.
Yeah, selling that would be like a no-go, like not even a consideration, even with this ridiculous market we're in.
Yeah, Fred, it's scary when property values go up here. Mm-hmm. I hate it because I don't, you know, this isn't a speculative property for me. It's no. You know, so, but the problem is, you know, you eventually get priced out of where you are, you know, like in some ways, like in Toronto, there's people who can't afford to stay in houses they've grown up in, say, yeah. Mm-hmm. Because the taxes are so high and other things, right?
Okay.
Is it where you are? Is that a four season or a three season or what?
It's not winterized. No, it's okay. You know, it's sort of a May to November.
How are the bugs where you are? I was up north last week, and they weren't bad for me. There was a bit of more deer flies than I was used to, but it wasn't terrible.
No, it hasn't been bad, and it's right on the lake, so there's a bit of a breeze, but it can be. You know, mosquitoes, that's part of what is Canada's made out of, cedars and mosquitoes, right?
So, yeah.
Well, it looks very rustic and lovely, and I guess, yeah, you're... You know, I love going up north, even to my tin palace. I'm just in a different mindset as soon as I arrive. Like my mind sort of, I don't know if it clears or I'm at some kind of a ease. Do you feel that way too? Like as soon as you get there, you're just somewhere else.
Well, I'll tell you one thing I like about up here is that the television is very limited. You know, all my life I'm watching 500 channels.
Yeah, of course.
And I've got an antenna I bought from Amazon for $50 on the roof here. And on good days, it pulls in four PBS channels across the lake in Michigan and Wisconsin and global. And it's like the first man on the moon. It's like you're Jeff Bezos. Yeah. Oh my God, I pulled a signal off out of the sky.
Hilarious. I know, especially for someone who makes their living watching nothing but TV shows.
Yeah, right. The old fashioned way, man.
When we were all kids, that's how the TV came in, right? And there's something like it's a miracle. I've got a picture. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is weird when you think about it. Like, wait a second, this signal's coming through the air?
Yeah.
But, you know, I was just quickly, we didn't have television last week either. There was a TV. I got it working one day, and it was just about three or four, I don't know, 10 channels maybe, but nothing I wanted to watch. So we didn't watch TV for a week. And it sort of felt weird to be away from it, even the limited television that I watch in the summertime, and Freddie's the same. He doesn't watch a lot. And that's why when I'm looking at your show notes here, you know, I haven't heard of these. Usually when we talk, it's always something we've all at least heard of or you've introduced to us. But what are we looking for with what you're recommending this time around, Billy?
Yeah, you're right, Howard. It's the summer is a funny time. There's a lot of silly shows on network television. If you look at the top 30 shows right now, and their last week, it was all either Stanley Cup or soccer were the top 10, or news shows. There was one scripted show in all of Canada in the top 30, and that was The Return of Private Eyes on Global. So, you know, unless you want to see Ellen's Game of Games or people... Bachelor spinoffs, it's a quiet time.
What's happening on Love Island, Bill? Sorry.
Honest to God, I look across at Lonely Island. That's the actual name of the place. That's all I know. But you're wise not to turn on a TV. Like, it's a good time to be disinterested in broadcasting.
But I am interested in a couple of these shows sound interesting. Never Have I Ever is a Netflix comedy. You're saying it's returning for a second season. Mindy Kaling from The Office and famously, what's her other show?
The Mindy Project.
She's very, very funny. And I'm intrigued by the fact that it stars somebody from the Mississauga area.
Yeah, Maitri Ramakrishnan, and she's 20 years old, and she plays a high school student. She never really acted before, and last season she just emerged immediately as a delight on this comedy. I mean, it's not a radical idea to set a show in high school and show the kids, but the switch here is the diversity of the cast. Her heritage is Indian. And Mindy Kaling, the producer, the same. So it's very much based on Mindy's life coming to America when her family immigrated. And this series, though, is set in Sherman Oaks, California. And so It's just really smartly written like her other shows. But the great hook here is that it's narrated by John McEnroe.
Yeah, that sounds great.
It's brilliant because he'll be talking and you know, the character is two-timing. She's got two boyfriends. And he goes, reminds me of the 1979 U.S. Opens when I won both the doubles title and the singles titles. Like, he injects himself. It's very, very funny. And he's terrific on it.
Speaking of, you know, reminded me because the narrator in this case, John McEnroe, but I've been revisiting some Arrested Development. And, you know, they were off the air. They came back as a Netflix series. And I'll tell you, there's been the couple episodes I've watched recently. Ron Howard is the narrator of the series. But in the series, the episodes I've been watching, Bill, Ron Howard is now appearing as himself in the series. And it's like weird because he's narrating it and he's in it. And it's really yeah. funny. And he's talking about himself, the eminent director and Philand. It was just really the sort of self-referential stuff. And having listened to a lot of Smartless recently, seeing Will Arnett and Justin Bateman in it, you mm-hmm. can sort of see why they're such good buddies yeah. because of how much fun they had shooting that show.
Yes, and my God, isn't Smartless the best thing you can, you know, I mean, I just love that.
Yeah, it's podcast. Right up there with the Humble and Friend show. It's very, it's, very it's, popular.
Almost in that category.
Almost,
yeah.
Yes.
I was a huge fan of Arrested Development and, you know, was on the press tours in L.A. and that cast would come every 6 months and I always look forward to Will Arnett. And I never really got into the Netflix version of the show. It was different. You know, they yeah, would take,
it's definitely different.
And often each episode was focused on one character. They structured it differently, but I'm a huge fan of the series for sure. So I'm not that familiar with the Ron Howard in person aspect of it, but him being narrator was always such a great idea.
You talk about revisiting. Lately, I've been watching a lot of Wonder Years, too, and the narration thing there. I mean, it's not funny. It's just interesting. But I look at this show you're talking about, Never Have I Ever, a bit of that feel, right?
Yeah.
Freddie, who was the narrator? I can see him, but he was one of the guys from Home Alone.
Oh, was he?
The narrator on the...
Daniel Stern.
Daniel Stern.
Yeah. She was very good on that. Yeah.
What a fabulous show. Just what a wonderful show that was.
I think the pilot for The Wonder Years was one of the very best pilots I ever saw. You know, set in 1968 and mm-hmm. the home movie footage and mm-hmm. the use of, you know, everything was great about it. Now, just heads up, they're doing a new version of The Wonder Years. It's debuting this fall. It's a U.S. Network series. It has a black cast is the
yes,
the
I heard about it. This. Yeah.
Interesting.
And, Don Cheadle, I think, is narrating that version.
Mm-hmm. And not to get too into Arrested Development and Smartless, but I re-listened to the Ricky Gervais episode of Smartless, and Will Arnett and Justin Bateman especially were saying how big of fans they were of The Office at the beginning of the taping of Arrested Development. And Bateman sort of said to Gervais, we were so blown away by what you guys were doing on that show that we wanted to have some of that feel, that awkward, those pauses, that sort of look to camera in Arrested Development. And I thought, isn't that interesting that influenced them more than just regular sort of single camera sitcom-y stuff?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was a huge influence in terms of, you know, this, the camera is sort of in the middle of the stuff, mm-hmm. sitcom-y, you know, but Gervais is brilliant in his most recent show, is one of my favorites too, Afterlife.
Yes. Is that coming back for a third season, you think?
It is. He shot it through COVID, and it should be coming up in a few months.
Because that thing is brilliant.
Oh, loved it.
I think it's the third and final season. You know, he doesn't make a lot of seasons of shows, mm-hmm. Ricky, right? So,
speaking of seasons and summer viewing, I listened to the Howard Stern interview with the three women from Friends.
Oh, yeah.
And Lisa Kudrow was talking about the show taking off, like a lot of shows out of the gate, you know. Not that it struggled, but it didn't get a lot of attention. But it was the summer reruns where it just took off. So they had the first season, and then the summer reruns, the show took off because even back then, well, it was some time ago, 25 years ago or whatever, there weren't a lot of options like there are now.
Mm-hmm.
For what? For viewing in the summer. Like, you know, there's fresh stuff all the time. It doesn't matter what the season is. And this is another thing that's hurt network TV. It's like you used to be able to take a show, rerun it in the summer, hope it can gain some more ground by those who didn't see it when it was right out of the gate. But now that's been affected too, because people have so much choice. They're not giving these shows a chance during the summer run, if you can follow what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, networks mm-hmm. don't even schedule reruns anymore.
Yeah.
They don't play. People want to watch old shows. They binge something on a streaming service. And, yeah. The you know, All in the Family is the most famous example. It was canceled and all dead until it reran its first season in the summer.
Yeah.
And became a monster hit and changed, you know, was number one show on TV for 5 years in a row.
I think the reason that, and maybe correct me if I'm wrong, that it would, just when you were saying that, Fred, the reason that we don't have that summer replacement mm-hmm. series or rerun is because you can just go to any network site,
yeah,
sign in, and on demand, all their shows are there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because when you guys were talking about it, I do recall, and this is back in the 70s and early 80s, that there were shows that were just summer shows. Like, I could be wrong, but I think like Sonny and Cher and
Summer Replacements.
Summer Replacement Series. Mm-hmm. That was like a big thing, and you sort of looked forward, and that's when a network would try out a concept, or they would have a variety show fill in for the regular show's time slot. It almost sounds like we're talking about World War II brought us the old wireless. But you know what I mean? But it was a sense of,
oh yeah,
of the
we
regular.
Loved it.
Yeah, we loved it. I remember, like, you know,
we lived it. Yeah, like
going way back, the Smothers Brothers, when they'd go away for the summer, you'd get the Glenn Campbell Good Time
Hour. I was just going to say Glenn Campbell. I swear to God, I was thinking Glenn Campbell might, and Sonny and Cher sounds like it was a replacement series.
I mm-hmm. think so. They were, but you're right. Everybody had a, you know, the tie a yellow ribbon. Who is that hit?
Tony Orlando and Dawn.
Yes, the summer show. All
for
those
sure.
Kind of variety acts. Right.
There's an episode or two you would like us to. You said you've seen the first two episodes. It's on Apple TV, which I don't have, but it sounds like an interesting show called Schmigadoon.
Yeah, it is. It's funny. It's a musical parody, and it's basically Cecily Strong from Saturday Night Live and Keegan-Michael Key. They're a couple who are on they're trying to sort of repair their relationship, and they go on these nature backpacking deals, and they wander off course, and they end up in this place, and they realize they're actually in the middle of a musical. And it sounds like hell if you're not a musical fan, because they meet the town mayor, and it's the guy breaks into song, Alan Cummings plays him, every single person in town starts singing at them.
I
Martin
love it
Short, it's quite funny, and it's well written, and you've got Martin Short showing up as a leprechaun. The casting, Kristen Chenoweth, like real people with real Broadway chops.
And Jane Krakowski from 30 Rock.
Exactly.
She played Jenna.
Yes. No, she's great. And they're all terrific singers and dancers, as are Cecily Strong is terrific, too. But it's very whimsical and funny. Just something that plays perfectly as a summer show, I think, because it's smarter than most of the stuff. But you're right, not everybody has Apple TV. I think that's the extra streaming service that you just haven't gotten to yet for a lot of people.
Rachel has it, and I had it, I think it just expired because we got a new computer for the show about a year ago, and I'm looking at the icon on my desktop. I could have activated it, but I just honestly just didn't have any room in my world. But that sounds like a show people might like.
Okay, you use her login?
I think so.
It's that and Ted Lasso are the two reasons to have Apple right now. Yeah,
and Ted Lasso, show. You know this, Bill, but just set a record for Emmy nominations.
Yeah, it had like 19 or 20.
20, I think, Billy.
Yeah,
and it's
remarkable.
Everyone says that, and I respect you the most, obviously, when it comes to TV. You've been talking about this. You're right. That show alone might be a reason to get Apple TV.
Well, Sudeikis, who plays the main character,
Jason,
Ted Lasso, and he's he came from a minor league American football background, and he's suddenly thrust into the hot Euro Cup soccer spotlight as a coach. And so it's a very fish out of water, and it sounds one note, but there is something so optimistic and I don't know, like it's just not cynical. And Sudeikis is very much embodies that in all of his comedy, but especially here. And it's just, you know, you sort of need this show right now. It lifts you. And yeah. That's, besides being very funny, there's something else that's a little special about it.
Okay.
Go ahead, on the Fred. Note of streaming, it was announced yesterday, I think on the Dow Jones, Netflix takes a big hit. Mm. Now, they added 1.5 million subscribers the previous month, but apparently that was a huge disappointment. Not as many as they expected, you know, when they do their projections. So Netflix dropped in the stock dropped. You know, I heard that story and I'm thinking, at what point are you full up? Like what do you expect? Like,
yeah, good like, question.
How many do you expect? Like, at some point it's got to peter out because everybody's got it, for Christ's sake, you know?
And television has gone from, like, in hockey terms, the original six to, you know, all of a sudden there's 30 other teams. And for Netflix to run into some competition, well, of course, you've got not just Apple TV, but Amazon, Disney Plus, you know, holy smokes, Paramount. Everybody's got a streaming service, HBO Max.
Peacock, NBC Peacock, yeah.
Yeah, so it's and they all have good shows.
Yeah, I think NBC Peacock is a WHA Whalers. That's who I think they are.
But for Netflix, there's got to be a number where we can never expect to get more than this because we've pretty well tapped the market. And, well, of course, you're always going to lose subscribers, too, to other...
You would think so, Fred. Mm-hmm. You know, their subscription is around 200 million, just a bit over that, around the world. Yeah, no, it's crazy. And
we've done the math, Bill. We know what that is.
Well, if you listen to Ted Sarandos, you know, he sees a 600 billion, you know, he doesn't see a limit.
Listen, man, it's competitive out there, Bill. Freddie and I just lost some subscribers to Jesse and Gene. We don't know where they're going. We may never get them back. I will say, though, what you make a great point, too, about the variety now of those streaming services where once there was just sort of Netflix and Amazon. I don't find myself, and again, TV viewing down in the summer because of, you know, golf, but I just don't find myself going to Netflix as the sort of first choice as much as I once did. Because, as you say, even, and I say, I'm only talking about 3 or 4 years of this, it used to just be the first thing you would go to. And now there's some other choices. The on-demand choice has kind of stepped up a little bit. I've noticed that on the Bell 5 service. I don't know what it's like on Rogers for you guys, but I've noticed they've stepped up their on-demand, you know, sort of platform.
Oh, yeah, and all the movies you can watch now. And you're right. You go to Netflix now and you look at the menu and it's like 10 new releases.
No, I know.
Schitt's Creek and Kim's Convenience. Like, those aren't new releases. Wait a minute. You know, like, they need to be mindful, I think, of how they market that.
And also, Bill, I've said this to Fred because I get, you know, you get the email from Netflix that says, Howard, we've just added a new documentary. I'm like, easy, Netflix. Come on. I can't get to the shit you've already. I'm still trying to catch up from January.
My problem is, and I've always felt that way, and maybe eventually it'll show my age, but I don't, other than the Blue Jays, I don't feel comfortable being inside watching television in the summer. I don't care what time of the day it is or whatever. It's just, it doesn't feel right to me. Maybe when I get of a certain age and I find myself watching TV during the summer inside, I'll know that I'm getting old or something.
No, I get it, though, dude, because other than the 3 or 4 hours every Sunday afternoon, I'm 2 to 6, I'm watching golf. Other than that, I don't really watch a lot.
It's funny when you look at the networks, too, because a lot of what they put on in the summer is like American Gladiators and people jumping over. But it's like they have given up.
They've given up.
They're showing people exercising and being athletic to people who can't even get off their couch in the summertime.
That's right. They're there with their medical supplies, equipment. One thing I do want to mention, though, that I am intrigued by, and I'm going to try and catch up. I just checked on my I thought I had it taped. Do we even say taped anymore? But we had your friend Bill Carter on the show.
Honestly,
and thank you. We've had him on a couple times now. It's just been great. I'm such a huge fan, as is Fred. His latest thing is called The History of the Sitcom. It's on CNN. I think it's a, how many part series? Is it eight?
Eight parts, yeah. So there's four more to go at least.
Damn it, because I thought I had it taped. I don't. So I'm going to try and catch up, but that is definitely a series, I think, whether you're into television or not, it's a very interesting series. And have you seen all of the episodes?
I've seen six of them, and they're terrific. And the it's funny, you know, I was just talking to a guy who is one of the architects of the sitcom yesterday, doing a podcast with Bill Persky, who was one of the original writers of the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Wow.
And he's a gentleman who's turning 90 in a few months, and smart and sharp as a tack. But I was asking him, are you watching the history of sitcom since you helped write it? And he said, yeah, but he was disappointed there wasn't much Dick Van Dyke on there yet. And I said, well, hold your fire, because I know Carter went down, and in January of 2020, he went to Carl Reiner's house and he interviewed Carl Reiner. And he was trying to get a hold of also Dick Van Dyke and Mel Brooks. And he was telling Reiner that Mel's agent wouldn't even call him back. Mel, what is this? And so Mel phones Carl phones Mel and says, you're doing this. Get your ass over here.
I know.
And then they were trying to get a hold of Dick Van Dyke, and Reiner goes, here's his cell number. Call him, tell him he wants to do this. Mm-hmm. And about 4 months later, Carl Reiner died. You know,
no, like I know.
They sort of, so there's lots more Dick Van Dyke and other things coming up, and it is a great series.
On the speaking of Bill Carter, we should have him on the show again, not necessarily for this, Howard. I saw him on CNN a week or so ago, and they were talking to him about the damage that Fox News is doing to the American public through misinformation.
Yeah.
And he was so articulate and so eloquent and so interesting to talking about that, that that would be,
for sure,
it'd be great to have him on to,
especially to now that Billy Brio has set him up, and Billy Carter is now one of our friends of the show. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah.
It's
a
double bill.
Double bill.
Yeah. If you follow Bill Carter on Twitter, Fred, to your point, very, very articulate on how Fox has been ruining lives.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know you like to read as well, and I finished up another Trump book because, you know, that's one of the things I enjoy. Michael Wolff's book, Landslide. It's the third of his Trump trilogy. It's all about the from the election basically to the insurrection. It's fascinating. And it talks a lot about how Rupert Murdoch, the owner of Fox News, even he abandoned Trump at some point. And Trump was furious because Fox was one of the first people to call the election in Arizona that night, and Trump was losing his mind. Anyway, Bill Brio is up at the cottage, but he still has TV feeding his family. How do people listen to your podcast, sir?
Well, please come over to brio.tv, BRIOUX.TV, and you'll find a link, or just look for Brio TV, the podcast.
Fantastic. And I just think it's so cool. You're sitting there in a structure, a cottage your father built. You were there at 6 weeks old. You probably, you know, lost your virginity there. I don't know what you were doing, Bill. But it was, whatever it was gross. And
that's actually one of the penance back here is losing my virginity.
That's the virginity penant.
Yeah,
good for you.
Bill, it's got 1947. It's got flush toilets, though, right?
Oh, you know, that was a centennial project in 1967. We tore down the outhouse and put in a toilet.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. Nothing is going to top the virginity banner behind him. All right, Bill.
Hubble and Fred banner.
You should. God damn it, Bill. Yeah. When are we going to worm our way into your heart? Bill Brio, always a pleasure. Thanks for catching up with us. Next time, it'll be August, my friend. It's all going by too quickly. There's Bill Brio. Thanks. Very good.
Take care, guys.
You too, my friend. I said my friend twice. I didn't mean to. He's your friend, too. Don't panic. You know what I'm wearing here, Freddie? I'm wearing the health gauge. Where's yours? Is it charged? Oh, you've got yours on today. How many hours of sleep did you get? Tell me. Right now. Show me.
Oh, 7.6.
Oh, you beat me. How was your deal? I get 7.4. But 2.1 was deep.
So was me, 2.1.
Oh, 2.1 DP. These antibiotics, I'm almost done them. I had a bit of some sweats last night. It was too hot in my bed. I don't like a hot bed.
That sounds like menopause.
Do you like a hot bed?
No.
You don't like a hot bed. No one likes a hot bed. If you want to monitor your health and sleep and your well-being, we recommend the Health Gauge, the Miracle Watch. Health Gauge, of course, composed of three main things: the device, the software, the cloud computing. Honestly, it was Fred and I and Tim got the watches at the same time. And the three of us together are 220 years old. And we figured it out. I thought it was going to be more complicated. It's super simple. Out of the box, you hook it up, you got the app, and you're up and running in no time. Blood pressure, oxygen saturation, heart rate, pulse wave velocity, activity levels, calories burned, et cetera, et cetera. And as you said, you can monitor your sleep. You can monitor your steps. The other day, you told me that you were out cutting some lawns. And you look down, and right away you know how many steps you've had. So it's not just like some of those things, like the Fitbit. They don't do all the other stuff, but the Health Gauge does. And a lot of Humble and Fred our people are taking advantage of it. Go to healthgauge.com, and the promo code is HumbleFredHG. HumbleFredHG gets you 15% off when you buy a Health Gauge. Go do it. Go do it now, for God's sake.
And right. Do this. What's do that? This.
Do it.
Do this.
Do it.
Go to chamberplan.ca. Find out how your small business can be part of a benefits package. Yeah. Chambers of Commerce Group Insurance Plan, Canada's number one group benefits plan for small business. Listen, they've been around for 40 years. 30,000 Canadian businesses part of this. You know, collectively, it can happen. It doesn't matter how big your business is. Part of this group, you can provide coverage for your employees. Prescriptions, dental, all sorts of therapies, depending on the plan that you purchase. And again, there's different levels. They'll come up with something for your comfort level. Go to chamberplan.ca, read some of the testimonials, small businesses that have bought in, and it's worked so well for them. And why wouldn't it? It's a brilliant idea for small business. Chamberplan.ca.
I was just in consultation with my my older brother here. Here we go.
Hey, what's up now?
Hey, brother.
What's
up? Hey, brother. You know what would be good, David? Can you just turn that monitor towards you a little bit? Thank you. Just push it. Perfect. There you go. There we go. Oh, there's too much of my hand. I'm not sure how I'm going to do this because David's here, but go ahead and talk, Fred. Can you hear Fred? Can you hear the conversation?
Hello, David.
Hold on a second. There's David. David, can you hear when you were listening to me and Fred and Bill? Could you hear us?
I could, but not perfect.
Okay, that's fine. Let me turn the music down. I've hooked up a microphone, and as I said earlier, this is the first time since March of 2020 that somebody has been in the studio with me. It's been lonely. And he is my brother. He is my brother. Mi hermano.
Oh, ¿cómo estás?
Está bien. Is he said? Just lean into that microphone, casual.
Yeah, push it a little closer.
Push it a little closer.
Mouth. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And can you hear Frederick?
Say something, Fred.
Hello, David.
I can hear you, but quietly.
How about this?
Right.
Now, perfectly, yes.
Okay.
All right.
So I've just turned up the monitor, so I don't want to try not to get too much feedback here. David's been on the show before. We've talked to David. David's a psychologist. He works in the world of big business. You were explaining last night to Rachel and I, and it's the world of safety management somehow.
Project management. Okay. Right now, most of my work is large project management related to project culture. Work with large organizational teams, project leadership teams on large capital projects.
Oh, okay. So, and this is some of his qualifications for years, has been working with teams and understanding the world of humanity and human beings. And one of the things we talked to David about when you were on with us a few months ago, whenever that was the idea of this psychosis that has gripped society. Fred and I spent about 20 minutes this morning talking about, well, you might want to explain this, Freddie. There was a, well, just start over again. And I want David's reaction to what you said, showed me. In the world of this anti-vax mania.
A fellow developed this website, I think for the GTA, this area called the Safe to Do website, where you could go on the website and mm-hmm. find out what businesses have employees who have been fully vaxxed. So if that is a big issue to you and you want to feel safe, or mm-hmm. you're vulnerable,
right.
You couldn't get the vaccine because of health reasons, it directed you to businesses where everybody's been vaxxed. Well, the anti-vaxxers attacked it and went to some of the businesses that were listed and gave them bad reviews, and hate mail was sent to the creator of this. So he had to shut it down. He had to shut it down. So, again, a great service for the city is shut down because these anti-vaxxers, you know, it's not good enough that they're against the vaccines, but you must be too.
Mm-hmm. Are you surprised?
So just talking to the mic.
No.
Well, I tell you what, I was a little surprised.
I'm not surprised now.
Yeah.
But I was a little surprised. And here's where my question to Fred was. And my first reaction was, right. besides, this is a great service. But I wondered, what kind of person has the energy in their day to take on something that's so negative and hate filled, and so my question to you as a man of the world, what is their end game? Why would somebody take this on, do you think?
You know, this is the first I've heard of it. You know, I always start back from the proposition something is going through their head because they did it. Right. So what are they participating in? What are they seeing? Who are they such that they do that? And no, I wouldn't do that. You wouldn't do that. But for some people, obviously, it's part of their affiliation. You know, I think when we talked last time in the previous conversation, I was making the point of identity, you know. People do whatever they have to do to preserve their identity. People will fight to the death to remain to be who they are, right? I was thinking I heard that little bit of that. So I do this experiment, this little game I do when I'm doing seminars in one of our programs, and I show people an optical illusion. And at first glance, for most people, it looks like a satellite view from outer space. What it is in reality, or eventually most people will see an image of a cow. You know, it's an optical illusion. And the question is always, why is it that you can't see the cow?
Right.
When eventually you do. And it's not that the cow is not easily seen. It is eventually. The first thing that you see is the one that you preserve. So once I see something in one direction, it's very difficult for me to see anything else.
So picking up on what you said, and in the context of this website, that you would think on the surface would just be like, hey, a no-brainer. Like, and even if I were an anti-vax or I had the opposite viewpoint, what is it about my viewpoint that I'm so tied to that I've got to destroy this thing because it can't exist in the same world as me?
Right, because if it exists, then I don't exist.
Ah, so if you were a flat earther and you were on that Bezos rocket the other day and went to space and saw the Earth as a globe, you wouldn't believe it because that would go against everything you believe.
Well, something like that. I mean, it's like you. If, for instance, if Trump was to come out, I heard you guys vaguely talking about Trump yet again. If Trump was to come out and say, take the vaccine,
right.
I'm sure a lot of people would say that somehow he has been taken over.
It's not really Trump. Exactly.
It's not really Trump.
I agree with you. They would somehow find a way to make, well, that's not really Trump. That's Trump clone or something.
You know, I read something about Sean Hannity is now promoting vaccine.
Yeah.
I guarantee you that now Sean Hannity will be in the wrong camp.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think they're doing the funny. They're doing that. Fox is trying to cover its ass so it's not a mass lawsuit for killing hundreds of thousands of people.
Yeah,
David. What I find frustrating through this too is the people that are attacking this business, these businesses through this website, which has had to be shut down. They are the people that didn't want lockdowns to begin with because business was being hurt. You know what I mean? Logistically, none of it makes sense. So you're against the lockdowns. You don't think COVID exists. You shouldn't have vaccines. Look what it's done to our businesses. So this guy comes up, creates a business, by the way, which this was. And now they attack the very businesses that originally they were defending.
Like,
it's bizarre.
We were having a conversation yesterday, and I was offering in a different context. You know, I used to do performance management troubleshooting. Mm-hmm. And you know, there were a set of questions I'd always ask, you know, and the third question was, what's reinforcing the behavior? So, mm-hmm. you know, I grew up as a psychologist in an era of behaviorism, one of the movements in psychology, 60s, 70s. And you always looked for what's reinforcing behavior. So the assumption always was, if a behavior persists, it must be reinforced in some way. I mean, any parent, you know, comes up against that when you figure how to put a crying baby to bed, right? And it's like the baby would be crying, but at some point you'd soothe the baby, so the baby keeps crying for the attention. And the question is, how do you extinguish the behavior? You'd by not reinforcing all that behaviorism we all know. So I was just thinking, what is reinforcing about turning up and, you know, boycotting a business that's doing this vaccine service? And it must be something like, doing this gives you some kind of prominence, some kind of identity. You know, you are somebody where you were nobody before. Look, we're all talking about the schlubs that did this, but whoever they are, they're not schlubs. They're just...
No, they are. They're bad people, okay, they're and schlubs. We hate them. This is the Humble and Fred Show. We speak in extremes.
We can hate them.
They're schlubs and they're Nazis.
Right. And, yes, and they're Nazis, right.
That's right.
So there's something, you know, somebody who was an anonymous person, you know, now can, without much consequence to them, in a sense, hey... You know, look, you know, hey, friends, look what I did. And there's no consequence. I mean, I think I've been mentioned on the show before. I'm a big fan of Nassim Taleb's whole idea of skin in the game. You know, the problem now is that you can do things with very little skin in the game or consequence to you.
That's right.
So all of the consequences are positive in the sense of getting notoriety at none of the cost.
Well, mm-hmm. you know, we early on in all of this nonsense, I'm just going to turn your mic down for a second, just because it's kind of, we're getting a little cross-fading here. Early on in the nonsense, Fred and I had this guy on named Chris Sky, and he is the leading voice of the anti-vax movement, and we thought we'd have a conversation with him, and we quickly found out that, and we've talked about this, Freddie, that there was no conversation to be had, because he didn't want to hear anything that would go against his worldview. Just in case we were making a point, and all he did was yell mm-hmm. over everything we said, to the point where we went, well, we can't talk to you anymore, I guess.
Yeah, it was the Fox News method of, as soon as you hear something you don't want to hear, you start talking over the person.
Mm-hmm.
It happens all the time. And the thing is about a guy like Chris Sky, like, to any... And again, easy for me to say because I'm of this camp, but anybody I know whose opinion I would respect would look at this guy and go, he's just an asshole. Mm-hmm. Yet, he has a following. There's people that follow and support this asshole.
Of course. They're part of his tribe.
Yeah.
And well, look, if you say this is under the normal rules of conversation, he's violated that game. Mm-hmm. But if we say the game is a different game called go to war... He's actually using a very acceptable tactic. You do everything you do to maintain affiliation with your tribe.
Yeah.
And in that sense, you're the asshole for daring to question.
Well, that was really funny about it all, because at the end, you know, we thought this is one of the worst interviews we've ever had, and the guy was a complete dick, and then he goes on Twitter talking about, oh, I just crushed Humble and Fred, and we're like, what? We didn't even have a conversation with the guy. Anyway, thank you very much for this, David Glassman. I don't know, David and Steven got all the brains. I just got, you know, I'm just pretty.
Well, you know, yesterday Paul Romanek said that you look like a dentist.
Yeah.
You know what? It's like James Taylor is sitting there. Like I said that
Big
last
Dave?
Time.
Yeah, I know. No, I know. He's a handyman.
It's just, I know, he's the handyman.
He's the handyman.
I'm sure Brother Stephen's going to listen to this and he can say, if only he could hold a tune.
Oh, that's right. Okay. No, exactly. David Glassman can be found online and I don't know. Is there, I have nothing. David has nothing to plug.
I got
David's
nothing
just
to plug.
Here to golf and hang out. And thanks for this morning. I appreciate it. Pleasure. And for you, there we're shaking hands. By the way, for you Swing Thought nerds, David's going to come back tomorrow and make an appearance on this weekend's episode of Swing Thoughts with myself and Tim O'Connor. Thanks, David. Okay, you can just hang here. Boone's going to check in with us in a second. Do you have anything else left? Do you have the Sherpa?
Well, I want to talk. I would like to talk about the retirement.
Well, I wish you would. Don't just talk about it. Do it.
Yesterday he was on the show and talked about estate planning. Very, very important as you're putting your life together. You're looking towards your golden years, which arrived for me a week ago. Anyway, so the retirement Sherpa was talking about estate planning, how important that is. You look forward. I mean, there's so many tax implications, you know, as far as, you know, what your setup is and what you have and who should get it and at what time. Listen, so many aspects of this that you have to think about. Have a portfolio, want somebody to have a second look at it, maybe to look at that aspect of it, you know, the estate planning. He'll do it for you, no obligation. If he can help you, he'll tell you. If he thinks you're on the right track, he'll tell you that too. He's a great man, the Retirement Sherpa, retirementsherpa.ca.
Yeah, I'm just checking out this... you know, I think there's something, because I was listening to David's mic, and it's that little fuzziness. Remember, I told you there's something going on in the system where you aren't hearing it, but as I was listening to David on his microphone, which is the one I'm using now, that hissing sound isn't there. So I'm going to ask Dan when he comes back. There, I think there is something. Either with my mic or the or the cord, but do you notice how this doesn't? Does it sound the same, or does it sound the same to you? I should say,
yeah.
All right,
sounds the same.
Well, just relax.
Okay. I know what you're asking. I'm telling, and well, I listened to the show yesterday. You sounded fine.
Yeah, I think it's more just an issue in what I'm hearing. Because even as David was talking, I wasn't really here. I'm going to give you this mic now because it's
Howard's hearing things.
Fuck, you have no idea. Mike Boone's here. The world famous. I think you should start calling yourself the world famous Toronto Mike. Because I just think it's long overdue. go ahead.
Oh, I'm honored. That would be incredible. But how are you guys doing? You guys, I will say, I listened back to the podcast as well because I heard your complaints. And you sounded perfectly fine to my ears.
Mm-hmm. No, and I was saying to Freddie at the end of the show yesterday, it's just something in the... and I now think it might be the actual cord that I was using. It doesn't matter. Mike Boone... or Toronto Mike, who is putting out... it's funny, because he came on our Zoom meeting about 2 minutes ago, and in that 2 minutes, he's already released three new podcasts. And I know, you're getting tired of this bit, Mike, but it's to me, it makes me laugh.
How come you're not wearing a Toronto Mike tee?
Yeah.
Well, you don't wear the... If you're in a band, you don't wear your band shirt.
That's true.
That is true.
I never used to like to wear radio station stuff either.
And the funny thing is, it's funny. One year, I can't remember when it was, Freddie, but we got these beautiful leather jackets.
Mm-hmm. Do you mean it's the black ones or the black buckskin ones?
The black ones. And it was such a great jacket. A bunch of the staff got them, and it said Edge 102 on it, and I was too self-conscious to wear it.
Mine's a trailer jacket. It's been up there for 20 years, hanging in the cupboard. When it's cold outside, I'll wear it up there. But yeah, I was just, I was never into that either.
It just felt weird because I thought, and especially we had 1 year, I think we had jackets that said our names on them, which is even, I never wore that one. Mm-hmm. Toronto Mike is our producer, even though he likes to keep that on the down low. He likes to just keep that quiet.
Well, you think so?
I'm just teasing.
Screen it from the rafters.
I know you do, sweet boy.
Very proud of it.
Mike Boone is here to just bring... There's a couple things I want to talk with Mike about. We've got to put it on the schedule to have another Patreon Hundy P little pizza party, whatever we call them. And I'd like to do that. And I was reminded on the heels of TMLX7, which was a success. I saw some great shots.
Yeah. Last Friday.
Friday. Congrats.
Thank you.
And also we need to talk a little bit about what we're going to do as a group for the 10th anniversary podcast special. And I think what we should do is we should do it live. We should do a bunch of people here if we can. And then we should do as many of our Zoom guests to come back from the last 10 years as possible.
Yeah, we got to do something. Absolutely. I know this is kind of an on-show meeting quickly here, but what's your comfort level with fully vaccinated people in your studio?
Well, you know, my brother's here. Say hi to Dave. That's Toronto Mike. You've heard of him. Here, let me just turn.
Hey, David, how you doing?
Let me turn your mic on. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've heard of you, Mike. Yes.
Yeah, you have heard of Toronto Mike?
And you're from Toronto, right?
that's a good guess.
David, in Alberta, are they buzzing in Alberta about Toronto Mike, the podcast?
They talk about nothing else.
Exactly. See?
Hey, I'm wearing... Go ahead, Fred.
It's all the billboards you bought in Western Canada.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah.
On the Crowchild Trail.
I'm wearing a Jaws shirt today for Moose Jaw.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If I may interject here, and I'm answering on my behalf, I'm not speaking for Howard, I would be completely fine with double-vaxxed people, just from the standpoint that if everybody's double-vaxxed, we better get on with this thing and get on with life. So what are we waiting for? You know what I mean?
So
if everybody's double-vaxxed, we just got to get on with it. So yeah, bring it on. Bring it on.
Maybe you cap it at like 25 people or something, and whatever, some cap. And then if you're fully vaccinated, you can watch us record and we can do it.
Well, I want for sure. And my comfort level is just the same as yours. If we can get, you know, I'm going to want a vaccine passport, though, and a fucking blood test. I want a recent test. But I definitely want to do something with Mike and everyone and Freddie and to set the studio up. So that we can have a bit of a 10th anniversary podcast,
let's do it.
You know, thing, and maybe we can get Tori to come back and call it Humble and Fred Podcast Day something.
So this is October, right?
It'll
October.
Be October. Yeah, Mike. You and the great thing is Boone was with us on the very first day we ever did this. In fact, Boone is the man responsible, going back to 2006. To suggest to us, hey, guys, why don't you do this thing? They're called podcasts. That's how far back we go.
No, and you guys, of course, are the role model. Like, you guys are the blueprint. So what we did with you is basically the blueprint I follow for myself and for other podcasts I produce. Like, you guys were the first guys out, the pioneers, if you will.
Yeah, and look where it's
really
gotten
impressive.
We get
so
nothing.
Yeah, let's do a huge 10th anniversary. Let's go big on the 10th anniversary in October. We'll start the planning immediately. This is going to be awesome.
Well, I can't wait. Toronto Mike.
I want to use my pioneer joke. I'll wear shoes with buckles.
You should. And you should wear. You should do that. Yeah. I'm going to call you Ezekiel. Then we're going to have a churn your own butter contest. It'll be fucking great.
Fred mentioned moving on. We got to learn to live with this. And I'm on that. I'm in the same wavelength there. Yesterday night, do you know where I was for a few hours?
David, did I not say we drove by BMO Field? I said the Boone Man's in. He's there. And it looked, by the way, was that the first Toronto sports event?
No, second. So this is the second. Mm-hmm. This is the biggest one. So the first one they had, I think, something like 7,000 people or 8,000. This one was 15,000 people. And it's by far, it's the biggest Toronto gathering there's been since March 2020.
We just happened. Go ahead, Freddie.
And Mike, that was about half capacity for BMO, where people, you had to wear a mask while you're watching the game, though?
You were supposed to wear a mask. Lots of people, you know, lose their mask. But don't forget, you don't have to wear the mask when you're drinking, and most of the crowd is
privately
drinking. That crowd,
We drove by, Mike, it was about 8:15, and we're coming west on the Gardner. And I said to David, I said, that is, I don't know, is some... It was a great feeling seeing human beings gathered. It was just a beautiful night, and it must have been amazing in that stadium.
It felt amazing. I was in the supporter section, so you're the most, you know, they're the most raucous, crazy group, if you will, with the chants and the flags and the fireworks.
Sure, chants and flags.
So honestly, it felt normal, and we were going nuts, and we scored a late goal kind of to tie it up, and then everybody went bananas, and then I was biking home along the waterfront trail. In a beautiful night.
Just
and I was
beautiful.
Thinking, fucking, we're back, man. We're back. Get faxed, everybody, and let's move on.
Well, thank you, Mike, because every day, more and more people across Ontario are receiving their COVID-19 vaccines. Health Canada approved vaccines conveniently available in hospitals, doctors' offices, pharmacies, mass vaccination sites, and every dose brings us closer to what we've missed. Join millions of Ontarians. Do your part and get your shot. Visit ontario.ca/bookvaccine, paid for by the government of Ontario. What's that, Mikey? I'm playing this for you, by the way. Yeah, if there's one thing you should see this summer, because we don't watch television this summer on the Humble and Fred Show, but if you've not seen Bo Burnham's Inside, stay inside on a rainy day and watch it. Okay, next week on the Humble and Fred Show, Boone.
All right, coming up next week on Humble and Fred, we got our rabbi, Ralph Ben-Murgi, makes an appearance on Monday.
Nice.
To help us make sense of the world, absolutely. Tuesday, to talk about Bodog and sports betting and more, Peter Gross.
Can't wait. I said to Freddie this morning, I said, you know, I'm struggling because I don't know, I've never been a real big odds guy, but Gross is going to walk us all through it. Plus, I think we should place a bet or two and see how we do.
He's your man. He's the man for that. Okay, he's at TMLX7, so I just saw him on Friday.
I love his beer. So Ben-Murgi Monday, Gross on Tuesday.
Tony Clement is back Wednesday. Nice. Lots to talk about with Tony. And you ready? Where's my drum roll? On Thursday.
Hang on.
The Bobcat. Bob McCowan comes back to explain why he's no longer on that Saga 960.
Yeah, we can't wait.
We talked about it earlier in the show that it's just a wacky place, that Saga 960.
And you apparently they don't pay their talent because Bullard and others went off on the ownership, not paying any money.
Well, I said to Fred, Mike, that there's a couple conversations, one that we can have with Bob on the air, but one I want to have with him because he was telling us all these numbers that they were going to pull in from Saga 960. By the way, this is the most anyone has ever talked about that station. But that's next week. It's quite a lineup. Follow Toronto Mike, as we all do, at Toronto Mike on Twitter. He and I... because I follow you follow us, and Mike puts out stuff on us for us on Twitter, so do all that. Okay,
I do that, but I love that that one comment from Wayne is probably listening to us right now, where he felt it was too much to put a sponsor mention in a tweet.
So that's right. Well, that was yesterday.
Why would he care?
Yeah, exactly. Why would he give a shit if we put? Because part of we were totally transparent. Part of what our contract with a lot of these sponsors is, we will tweet out when you're on the show, or we have a certain. Everyone does, by the way, don't they, Boone?
I know.
Like, doesn't he want us to have contracts? Like, isn't that the whole point of this? Is that we have contracts so we can keep doing it?
I don't know, man.
It'd be the same guy that would, you know, the minute he was eligible for a raise, would be in there fighting for it, you know?
Wayne, I know him a little bit online. Good guy, normally. That was a rare misstep for Wayne. But I believe Wayne's son was your musical director for a few years.
What?
So
we had a musical director?
Was it Keith Weiland? Who would send you the jam?
No. Keith is a good guy. Yeah, Keith's a good guy.
Yeah, so I believe Wayne is Keith's dad.
Right, okay.
So let's be gentle.
Really? Yeah, we got it. Well, and I was. I just was, you know, the reason I brought it up is I thought, this will fill 10 minutes. David, again, thank you for being on the show.
Pleasure.
And again, Toronto Mic'd is the podcast everyone in Alberta is talking about.
And, nothing else but...
Ha ha ha.
Why don't you just take it down a notch, Boone? Okay, everyone, Humble and Fred 3 bangers coming up. We're looking forward to next week. Are you going up north today, Freddie? You're gonna take some time?
No, I'm gonna wander up there sometime over the next couple of days.
Nice.
But not today, Howard. I'm actually golfing in Cambridge with my brother-in-law.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a sad because your brother-in-law just lost his father. So why don't you go easy on him today, okay?
Mm-hmm. I will.
Okay. Well, my brother and I are going to be nerding out about golf. We're going to go practice golf today. Tomorrow, we're going to play golf.
Well, I was going to say to David, too, he works with teams all the time. While you're here in Toronto, will you go talk to the Leafs, please?
Sure.
Okay, thank you.
They're the hockey team, right?
Yeah. Allegedly.
Do you have hockey teams in Alberta?
Apparently as well. Not in Calgary, though.
Yeah. David and I, David just told me yesterday that you have lived in Calgary, because we were talking about how long I've lived here. I guess I'm officially an Eastern Canadian, because I've lived in Eastern Canada now longer than I've ever lived anywhere else. And you've lived in Calgary for how long?
1985.
Mm. That's crazy.
You know, Connor McDavid was at the match yesterday, speaking of Alberta hockey teams.
At what match?
Yeah. Oh, at the TFC.
Oh, was he? Oh,
the one that was he was talking.
Was he? Was he a TMLX 14 too?
No, it's only seven.
Maybe.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Jesus.
Eight is on August 27. I hope you guys can show up.
That's a good day for me. I'll be right there. Is it in a park? And by the way, Boone's back to doing. He's doing his show like with people live in studio, and that's cool. Because your studio's set up outside now, right?
Well, I've been doing backyard since, forever, in the winter even. But now I have had a couple of episodes where they've been live in the basement because of inclement weather outside. So okay. If you're fully vaxxed, I'll do a basement.
Well, we all want to wish everyone well. Have a great weekend. Mikey, thank you very much for the lineup. Hang on for our weekly meeting. Everyone else, be safe and get vaccinated, all right? Come on, stop fucking around. Fresh flow, pulling out jobs and jamboree handouts. Two turntables and a microphone. Bottles and cans, or just clap your hands.